Symptoms are the only way our body can talk to us. The only way. And it's not good enough to just write that off and go, I can tolerate that. You have to give acknowledgement to it and say, is this a problem? Is this an isolated instance or is this a pattern?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, it's my weekend. It's Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope it's your weekend, too. I've had so much fun. I've been traveling on the road, I think it's 3 weeks now. So I've been having a great time. And you know, I have to share with you, we're coming up on the 4th anniversary of my diagnosis. And this is actually the first time, I do a lot of traveling, but I had to change up how I traveled with the autoimmune diagnosis. But this last 3 weeks, I actually went back to the full-time, heavy-duty, whatever you want to call it, travel for work type of thing. And I just got back from Lisboa. Some of us know it as Lisbon, Portugal, as well as I've been to New York and Florida, all over. I'm still currently down in Florida and enjoying my time, but I am so thrilled that as a thriver, you know, here in the community, we're not survivors, we're thrivers. I've been able to get back to that place where I can travel like I used to and I love to. Although, now when I say I used to, I have to say, I think I've changed up a few things. I'm much more careful, as you know, about all sorts of things, including good sleep hygiene, as we call it, and stress reduction. Those two things are critically important if you're on the road, as you know. I've got my chai tea here with homemade almond milk. Yes, I'm in a place where I can make my homemade almond milk, so I'm so excited about that. As well as I'm really excited about tonight's guest. We're going to be talking about some things, and I love the term, stealth pathogens. I was like, wow, that's really scary. Just the word is scary. We're going to be talking about intentional health, understanding your bio burden. So let me introduce tonight's guest. Her name is Dr. Cheryl Hanley, and she's a self-described as a chiropractor, wife, mother, daughter, sister, student, intuitive healer, brainiac, an almost fellow in functional neurology, an adventure seeker, fisherwoman, nutrition guru. You know, I could just go on and on because it's just a beautiful list of all sorts of things. We'll just call her a believer in truth and health. And she is just an absolute conduit for healing. She believes in the miraculous healing potential of the human body, which, you know, that's one of the things we talk about all the time is trust your gut and believe in yourself. Your body knows what it's doing. So welcome, Dr. Cheryl. Thank you for being on the Autoimmune Hour.
Sharon, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
I'm so excited. We haven't talked about this before. When I read this introduction, we had a mutual friend introduce this, which is always so exciting. So if you guys have great ideas for guests out there, send them my way on lifeinterruptedradio.com and just go to the contact us page. That would be awesome. And Cheryl and I were talking about this, and she talks about stealth pathogens, and I just had to tell her that word just like freaked me out. I mean, I know that they're like bad guys out there, but just the word just freaked me out. Tell us a little bit about your story. That what got you interested in what's known as bioburden?
It was part of my evolutionary journey, and I think that was just where spirit wanted to bring me next. I've been a chiropractor practicing for about 11 years now, and I'm in a very, very small town in rural North Carolina. And as practice evolved, my questioning always came, what's next? What is limiting the patient? What could make a difference for my patient to ratchet up that healing just a little bit more? You know, is there an underlying disease process going on like you're experiencing? Is it just nutrition issues? And so what could notch that up? And I'm always in quest for what that certain something would be. And I came across a Professor Kerry Bone, and he's a professor out of Australia, and he's one of the premier herbologists across the world. And fascinating man. I've been able to study under him for some time, and he brought stealth pathogens, and I was like, that's it. That's huge. And so, scary stealth pathogens. And I had the same reaction you did. Stealth
just
pathogens.
The word.
What the world? And what I was led to and what I found out about, and you can ask more about, is just that we all have them to a certain degree, and they have been discounted, or perhaps their importance has been discounted in our body, and there are ways to eradicate them. And it's not about just saying they're there, but what can we do about them? And so that just lit a fire in my heart and soul, watching how they played out in people's lives.
Well, you know, Dr. Cheryl, one of my big, I say, gripes was when I first started, I was even told that organic food wouldn't help me heal by a well-respected head of a university rheumatology department. And that was so disappointing, because in this four-year journey of healing, I found that all sorts of minor nutrition deficiencies, things that you wouldn't even think about, you know, that I didn't ever think about, like getting more vitamin D, more zinc, a few other things that I was deficient in, as well as all of the toxic things in the world were exposed to. And it's so refreshing to hear someone, a medical professional, who says, yes, those are real. And once we find them and resolve them, your body will start to heal.
Yes. This body is such an amazing, amazing healing machine. And I guess that would be one of the main things that I try to instill in my patients, is the idea that their body is incredible. It's miraculous. And sometimes, as you've been experiencing over the past 4 years, it does, well, not just the past 4 years, but it does things that you don't want it to do.
Yes.
That doesn't mean it's broken. The good Lord put everything that we need to survive on this earth for us. And in all of our infinite wisdom, it seems like in our technology, we've gotten away from what's most essential, which is food and purity and Mother Nature and those type of things. And so toxicity and deficiency are the two big things that I would say, that if I were to stand on a pulpit and preach, it would be all about toxicity and deficiency.
If I was coming to you and I was doing the common types of things, like, so, oh, Dr. Cheryl, I'm fatigued, I've got some minor skin rashes, maybe I've got joint pain. What are some of the very first things that you tell people to look at when all of a sudden they're coming in with some of what I call these common autoimmune looking complaints?
First things I look for are the toxins. What are they exposing themselves to that they're not supposed to?
Which is a lot in this world.
it seems like it's everything. And most of the products that are marketed out there just seem like they have that toxic component, because we're always looking for something to improve the shelf life or make it last longer or taste better. And so we've got all these chemicals that are coming into our body, and it's such a toxic insult, and it drives the inflammatory processes in our body. So I look at what poisons are you getting in, and how is it causing inflammation in your body, and how can we change those things so the organism can have a different expression?
Yeah, that's to me was one of the critical things. And I was surprised. I thought I lived a very healthy lifestyle, but with all my travel and everything, when I did a toxicity audit, I was actually very surprised at even someone thinking that they were living very clean, what all I was exposing myself to. I imagine that's pretty common. Okay. What are some of the common things you find people are exposed to and then they're surprised?
Gluten is in everything. So I think one of the things that's surprising to people is how prevalent that is. It's not just food. They go, well, I'm gluten-free. I'm going to the grocery store and I'm avoiding gluten, but it's used as a stabilizer for cosmetics. It's used in our shampoo. It's used in everything. it's used as meat glue.
Wow. Meat glue. That's as scary as stealth pathogens.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it makes it sound so attractive and so yummy, but the reality is that a lot of people, when they go to the grocery store, they're looking for ways to make eating easier. And so they buy products and they're glued together with things that are inflammatory. And as soon as they get in their gut, then they explode into this inflammatory cascade. Simple things like fluoride in toothpaste, get organophosphates, pesticides. Things that we use in our house, whether it's a bug killer in our house or things out in our yard, I think people are pretty surprised by how extensive and how that really, I don't think they understand how damaging that is, one, to the plant life, but also to the inside of their body, making them susceptible and inflammatory. Yeah, most of the things people eat is the biggest surprise for them.
I know, unless I'm able to find just exactly like raw, fresh vegetables, things like that. It is hard to find good quality food, whether you're in your hometown or you're traveling. It's oftentimes can be difficult depending on your location, especially when you're new to a location. I always have a joyous happy dance when I find an organic market somewhere.
I bet you do, especially when you're on the road. That makes it incredibly challenging. I travel, and when I do travel, that's a big, huge thing. I recently came back from a cruise to the Caribbean, and everything, when I got into the airport, I couldn't find. I was on a search for something. Just give me one thing that I can eat. I'm really hungry. I poor planning. What is one thing I could eat? I searched high and low through that terminal, and I finally found a cashew that didn't have all these chemicals in it.
Well, isn't it a shame you have to spend 20 minutes searching for a cashew? I mean,
I can grow my own.
I take a lot of food on my flights with me, and oftentimes I am the one who is searched because it's like, why do you have all this food in here? But a little note, guys, in my community, a little note is there are a lot of places you can't take fresh food. So do your research if you're going anywhere outside of the States. Do your research on what you can pack and can't pack, because oftentimes you can't pack fresh fruits and vegetables and other things and take them across international borders. So
isn't
anyway,
scary?
It is scary. It's a little side note there, but we don't need to be pulled over by customs for having a banana. So
Amen.
Let's talk into, well, you know, I'm going to stop here for a quick commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to talk with Dr. Cheryl on stealth pathogens, that word I've been avoiding since we started this conversation, because I tell you, that just comes out of a horror movie in my mind. So we'll talk after this quick commercial break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. And tonight we're here with Dr. Cheryl Hanley, and she's a self-described as a chiropractor, wife, mother, daughter, sister, student, intuitive healer, brainiac. I like this, almost fellow in functional neurology, adventure seeker, fisherwoman, nutritional guru, and I could go on and on, but she is just awesome. And tonight we're talking about something that I've always been fascinated about, and I don't think is given enough interest, and that's understanding your bio burden. And right now, I'm going to jump into this scary word I've been avoiding for the first part of the show, stealth pathogens. Let's talk about stealth pathogens.
Well, stealth pathogens are, simply put, they're covert invaders that live in our body. What makes them so stealth-like is they're able to hide from our immune system. And so we think health, my experience of health in this country is health is judged if you feel good. It's not about what your cells are doing. It's about how do I feel? And so people go to the doctor because there's some symptom that has come up in their body. So stealth pathogens, sometimes they give off symptoms and sometimes they don't. But they're covert invaders that are living inside of us, using us as their host while they wreak havoc. And then most of the time they're stimulated by a stress response or oftentimes are stimulated by a stress response or some other infection that we get. So there's a lot of ways that stimulate them. So they're just kind of underlying laying in our body. And that's why we say we all have a bio burden.
Is there a way to measure a person's complete bio burden, or do you have to go through a whole list of different things looking for that a particular pathogen or group of pathogens?
You know, that's a really good question, Sharon. And that's exactly the whole issue, is there's so many of them. So for instance, the human papillomavirus, that is one of the stealth pathogens. And if you looked up all the different strains of the human papillomavirus, there's lots of them.
And there's a lot of Epstein-Barr, too.
You're absolutely right. And Epstein-Barr is a huge, huge stealth pathogen that, by its nature, it's called a spirochete. And so
that's a scary word, too.
I know, all these scary things. And maybe that's why we don't talk about them. I mean, yeah. They were first written about in 1974. They are becoming a little bit more talked about, but they're living inside of us only to be stimulated by something else that confounds them. So let's say that something else is you have these stealth pathogens in you. A lot of people had mononucleosis as they were growing up. That's the Epstein-Barr virus, right? So why, if we got over mono, can we take a blood test and still see the Epstein-Barr virus in our body if it's not still living there?
And some people say that is like a leftover from the immune system, but lately I've been reading that no, the Epstein-Barr can stay hidden for quite a while and be undetectable even, but reemerge.
Yes. So one of the things that makes the stealth pathogens is they have different ways of hiding in our body. And then they're really, really smart, and they can actually change the form they are in our body so they can change how they're showing up. So I started describing a spirochete, which if you can imagine, it's just kind of like this thing that can burrow into our tissues. So the Epstein-Barr virus, after we get over the initial infection, can burrow in, and it can use our liver as a host. It can use our stomach as a host. It can use our thyroid as a host. And it can get in and it can hide in those tissues. And then sometimes when we try to eradicate it, it will completely change forms. And maybe it'll become a biofilm or it'll become a cell. And so that's what makes them so incredibly difficult to eradicate and difficult to find. And I want to go back to a question you asked a little bit ago about how do we find them? Well, there's so many different forms that it's very difficult to find them on a blood test. Epstein-Barr, it's a little easier to find on a blood test, but how many forms of the mycoplasma bacteria are available? Hundreds. And so to actually do a blood test, and you would have to be able to pick the exact one to have it show up on the blood test.
Wow. So I'm getting sort of visions of Sigourney Weaver in Alien with this thing popping out of her chest. I mean, I'm just like, this idea that you can, it's not that simple to find them, yet they can cause all sorts of havoc in our system. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack of like what is causing
what's
the layers of what's going on.
It's funny you use that analogy, because that's the exact same analogy that Professor Bone was using as he is, you know, teaching us all about these things. It's that alien. And maybe that's why not very many people out there are talking about it, because how do you find them? How do you eradicate them? How do you, it becomes a very complex individualistic thing. And still, it's very possible to step in. And so all autoimmune situations, I would look for an underlying bioburden or an underlying stealth pathogen and say, you know, where did this come in? Did you get it from your mother? Because that's possible. It's possible to pass them through vaginal fluids or sexual transmission. It's possible to get them from another animal. A tick vector, an arthropod vector, Lyme's disease could be said that it's primarily a stealth pathogen origin because the Borrelia burgdorferi virus. And so there's all of these different things that we can get exposed to, and sometimes we don't even know because it doesn't cause an infection in the moment that it gets into our body.
I think that's this hard part. And I want to talk about this word burden. Is first off, I guess when I look through, I do some functional medicine work where you look through your whole history and looking with hindsight, you could say, oh, I could see this coming. But is there a point in the burden, shall it, that word, where it's sort of the tipping point that the body can take a certain amount of these different deficiencies, toxicities, and pathogens, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's like too much and the it breaks? Or
yes,
the idea of trying to clean ourselves of all of the multiple pathogens and deficiencies and toxicities just seems overwhelming.
It does, and it can be. So all of them we all have a tipping point. We all have the health of our immune system, and my immune system isn't going to be the same as your immune system, nor is it going to be the same as anyone else's. And analogy that I like to try to use with my patients is it's like we all have a cup, and there's a point where our cup flows over. All of us have that point that's going to just tip it over. So someone who's immune compromised, you can't put near as much in their cup before it's going to flow over. And then there's somebody else that I could have this bio burden in my body, and maybe I got into my 70s and started getting senile dementia and started getting all these other things, and maybe there was a stealth pathogen at the root of that, but it didn't start affecting me adversely until my system, my whole tolerance just was lowered and lowered and lowered. One of the things that really, really feeds stealth pathogens is antibiotics. Isn't that an interesting conundrum? Because here we have bacterial infections that come in, and then the actual medicine that we use to eradicate the bacterial infection will feed things like Epstein-Barr and stimulate that. And it's like the two of them get together, Strep gets together with Epstein-Barr, and they have this big party. And together, they're stronger than either one of them was individually. And so it becomes kind of a messed up process. So everyone becomes an individual in that case. So looking back at patient history, is this patient somebody that had a whole bunch of infections when they were little? Did they have ear infections? Did they get chronic throat infections? Were they on antibiotics every time they turned around? Or did they have a healthy upbringing and then something just changed that for them?
Right. Oh my gosh. I was reading about antibiotic resistance too. And I'm like, oh, just another thing. But let's talk more about this idea of antibiotics and I guess staying healthy. This is just fascinating to me.
So antibiotics, they are obviously very, very powerful and life-saving. They have just become our prescription du jour, if you will. It's like whether they think you have a bacterial infection or a viral infection, oftentimes my patients will go to the doctor and the first thing they give them is an antibiotic. They don't check. They don't do blood tests. They don't do a simple blood test to find out is there a viral infection in the body or a bacterial infection. They just go and give an antibiotic just in case. And so we get so many of them. Most of them we don't need. And so there becomes our resistance. So if we're one of those people who keep on coming up with symptoms and we keep getting antibiotics, of course our body's going to get resistant. And these bugs are very, very smart. They get resistant to the bacteria. So I was telling you, they know how to morph. They'll see the antibiotics coming in the body and they'll go, oh, here they come. Change, change, hide. And they'll go through that entire process and change forms so the antibiotic is no longer effective in eradicating them.
That's the scary thing I was reading about, is how worldwide so many common ailments are now getting to be completely antibiotic resistance. Like there is not even some last calls on an antibiotic. You know, bringing out the big guns aren't even working now. So I was, wow, that is...
That's where we have to go back to Mother Nature's medicine, because plant medicine has the answer. Essential oils are the way to eradicate bacteria. You get oregano oils, you get rosemary oils, you get thyme oils. Those will go in and actually eradicate it, because Mother Nature isn't smarter than Mother Nature. You know, every time you're in nature, if there's a toxic plant, there's an anecdote that's right there with it. It's Mother Nature is so intelligent in that way. And so sometimes when they have come to the manufacturer of medications, they're using one constituent, an active constituent, rather than using the whole of the plant medicine. And sometimes it's that symbiotic whole that has the answer, not just one active ingredient.
Yes. I just want to bring up one thought about essential oils, and that is be sure and go to a qualified essential oils practitioner, because I've learned through my voyage of essential oils is some are meant for ingestion, others are not. There's various combinations, because essential oils, as you noticed, if they can work similar to antibiotics, are very, very powerful. So just don't go off the shelf buying something yourself and trying it. Be sure and work with a qualified essential oil practitioner. They'll know the combinations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that, because all essential oils are not created equal. So thank you.
Yeah, especially that is very important, that they sometimes are cut rate. It's similar to, I was reading in Consumer Reports not too long ago about olive oils, so being all sorts of things that it's not always pure olive oil, similar to essential oils, not always pure. So make sure you deal with a qualified professional when you getting your essential oils, which I love. I have little packets of different essential oils on wipes that I take on an airplane, and there I am with my citrus wiping down the tray table, you know, and people are like, what are you doing? And I'm handing out these citrus wipes. So disinfecting.
You're probably the only one who cleans it.
Probably. But I love it, and it smells good too, you know, and you can get your person next to you talking to you like, what are you doing? Because it does smell good. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about when we are pretty sure we're working with a practitioner and we're pretty sure that there's a history of pathogens and toxicities and deficiencies. I want to check into like, how important is our nutrition? We've talked a little bit about hidden glutens and things like that and organic foods, but to me, once I started stopping thinking I was eating healthy and really looked into what is healthy eating, I want to be honest, that's one of those things that really flipped the switch towards my health, was conscious eating.
Yes. Yes is the answer. And I can't say that I've mastered that, Sharon, because I have people come in all the time and the first thing I say, well, let's look at your diet. Well, I eat healthy. And so I would say, you know, one of my biggest challenges as a practitioner is getting people to back up and really truly evaluate what it is they're eating. So nutrition is everything. You feed the body and the body will heal, correct, and repair itself. But you have to feed the body real food. And real food isn't synthesized. So, okay, there's this big sugar thing out there. And usually when people, my experience, when they start getting onto the healthy diet, they'll start realizing the sweetener thing. And so artificial sweeteners, they aren't good. And they'll go, okay, well, I'll go out there and I'll get stevia. And so then they go to the grocery store and they see all these things that have the word stevia in them. And they automatically go, well, I heard that was good. And they buy that. And the first ingredient when you look at it is dextrose or sucrose. That's not stevia.
There are these hidden labels. I mean, there are these labels are so deceiving that I've learned it's not that I never do process. Like you said, one time you're in a look, you're searching for that rare cashew. I have to say, sometimes you just get hungry enough that you look for the best of the worst.
Yes, the lesser of evils. It's absolutely true. And so in my ebook, Wellness Hacks, that's one of the things we talk about is, in fact, the first chapter is all about don't believe what is written on the advertising on the packaging. Food science is a science for a reason. It's not to make us well, it's for profit.
One of my big arguments about labels is things like the word natural mean nothing.
See?
Nothing.
Organic most of the time doesn't mean that it's organic. It's no intentional pesticides put on it. And so, you know, we do have to choose the lesser of evils. But when you're in your home environment, I would say take it up a notch and make sure that it's organic. Is it truly an organic, or were they just trying to get onto the organic bandwagon and put organic, and right next to the farm field, there's a farmer that's spraying pesticides all over his crops, because obviously that comes through the wind, it comes through the rain, it comes through the soil. So yes, just really reading every label. And it becomes an educational process of going to the grocery store. And it can be so overwhelming that I try to start somewhere. Start with the biggest culprit, with the patient. And so I think that a lot of the biggest culprits are our packaged foods. So if it comes in a box or if it comes in a package, it's not organic. It's highly processed. Okay, so, and some of them you can just check right off the list. And, you know, the interesting game, and I just say you have to read. Don't be so in your head about eating healthy. Be open to the option, just like you said, that maybe there's some other things that you could do.
Well, I tried now. I've taught myself. I mean, you know, if it's got to be in the living format, even if it's been cut from the tree, I eat it if it's in the living format. But if it's no longer even looks living, then I don't eat it. But, you know, sometimes you can't do that. And I always try not to cheat, because one of the things I found during this healing process is that I would start to feel better. And I would start to like, oh, and it would be somebody's birthday. And they say, oh, just have a little bite of cake. And it would surprise me how that little bite of cake, I'd wake up the next day with a lot of inflammation. It didn't take much to set the system backwards.
Yes. You know, when I finally got everything clean on myself, I had the exact same response. And so, you know, I use myself as a testing ground, but I find out, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours after I eat something inflammatory, it'll show up for me. And so I'm blessed. I wouldn't say I have autoimmune issues. I'm so blessed abundantly with health, but I'll get a psoriasis reaction. And it is so quick that it will come up and say, hey, you're not supposed to eat that. And so I know if that's going on in me, that it's going on in every individual out there, because the digestive system works similarly. And so toxins are toxins. So you feed the body dead food, and guess what you get? You know, yeah. You feed it dead, you're not going to get health out of that. So yeah, we do the best we can. And until somebody cleans up their diet, they don't get that, do they?
No, to me, it's also a process. I just always look at it, okay, this is just an adventure in healing.
Yes.
Because some things, as you mentioned, even if you think it's organic, I remember one time, I like apples, and I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so we can just go pick them off the trees. And I'm buying organic, picking apples. But one time, I ate an apple, and I had this very severe reaction, and I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm not allergic to apple, but what was on the apple? So sometimes if we're going out to dinner with friends, or we make our own meal, we can get a reaction, but we're never quite clear what it's to.
Yeah.
It could be like, what part of the salad did just cause this reaction? So it can be a little frustrating, this adventure in eating for health.
Yeah. And again, I thank you for your journey. And I thank you for doing what you do and being that beacon of light for people out there and I don't mean this in the wrong way, but from the lay perspective, you've become a genius in the lay perspective with what's going on with, you know, autoimmune and how it shows up in your body. And I applaud you being able to do that. And as a practitioner, I just look for what's going to make the biggest difference.
Yes.
And so, you know, sometimes we have to figure out what is the bio burden that's causing the biggest deal. Was it something on the outside of the apple, or was it the combination of things that landed in your gut? The fact that your gut's unhealthy, or is it the fact that you got more airborne pollutants coming into you that day? There's so many variables. And so I guess I just people to go out there and be open-minded. So being open-minded about there might be something better. The body does what the body does for a reason. Symptoms are the only way our body can talk to us. The only way. And it's not good enough to just to write that off and go, I can tolerate that. You have to give acknowledgement to it and say, is this a problem? Is this an isolated instance, or is this a pattern?
Well, one question I have, looking at it from the patient perspective, is 4 years in, I'm at that point now in my healing where things are much better. You know, they're not going to say I'm cured, but I don't care. I feel great. But every so often, you'll get something like that experience with the apple, and I no longer know when an itch is just an itch. And it's interesting that, you know, do I run right to one of my health team members and say, okay, is this the start of a flare? Should we quash it now? You know, or is it just an itch? And I think that can be very frustrating, not only from the patient, but the caregiver's perspective of like, here she comes running again, and it's just an itch. So
I can see how and why from a patient perspective that would be concerning, because, you know, we all of a sudden identify that there's a problem, and then the fear is that the problem is going to come back. I always just try to give it a little bit of time to find out. And I say, let's see, are you still having the same experience 24 hours from now?
Mm-hmm.
Because usually usually the body doesn't wreak havoc in 24 hours over something like that. So there's either an active insult or there's not. And so looking for an active insult, is it something you keep eating? Because the problem's going to keep perpetuating. Did the itch come and go? Okay, perhaps it was an isolated incident, and then a little bit of introspection about where did it come from. But the mind is so powerful as well. It can just really, really work us into a tizzy.
It can run away with this, where if you're used to, oh, it's just a cold, it'll be fine in 10 days and your life will go on, versus a chronic condition where you've done a lot of work and strived to change things and heal things, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now is this important or isn't it important? You lose perspective on those. We need to, speaking of that, we need to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Cheryl about the ebook she mentioned, which is awesome, by the way, and get some more information. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man!
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within?
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow-drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to... Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kind of love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact You Gotta Believe at YouGottaBelieve.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and today we're here with Dr. Cheryl Hanley, and she's a self-described as a chiropractor, wife, mother, daughter. I could go on and on, but as you've heard so far in the first 2 sections of our show, just awesome about understanding the root causes of all sorts of dysfunction and disease in the body. And let's be honest, that's what autoimmune is. It's a dysfunction. Your immune system is not functioning the way that it's intended. So thank you, Dr. Cheryl. We're just down to, the last 10 minutes or so. Can you share with us some final thoughts that we didn't cover that you would love everybody to know?
What I'd love people to know is the healthier your body is, the happier you are. And the happier you are, the happier our society is. And I like to be around happy people, so I want everybody to be healthy. Health is a journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey. We have to not believe that we're going to arrive somewhere, that we just have to keep on searching and seeking out what's in our best interest and what can make us better. And in trying to do that, I guess one of the things I did was I created my ebook, Wellness Hacks, Simple Changes Make a Big Difference. And it's about that quest for happiness and through health, through divine health that we all, it's our birthright, divine health. And as a doctor, a lot of people always come in and in the back of their mind, there's that little ching, 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 you know, how much is she going to charge me for this? What's involved in that? And what I created was this ebook, so people would go, hey, there's a lot of things that I can do that don't cost me any money, that if I will truly be honest and truly be authentic about what's driving my system, I can change a lot of things and I can improve my health. I have to take responsibility. We cannot give health away. We cannot give the responsibility of health away to a healthcare practitioner.
Oh, bravo. You're speaking my language. That's what I say. You have to be your best self-advocate. You know your body better than anybody, including a longtime healthcare provider.
You live in it. You know it better. You might not know how to interpret its symptoms, and that's what I'm good at, but you know your body better. And so teaching the patient how to get in touch with their body and understand the symptoms that it has and why it's giving off those symptoms, and how sometimes it's not about a pill, potion, lotion. It's not about a diagnosis. It's not about anything other than doing things in a more pure manner. Not expecting that we live in an instant gratification society and that everything is that way.
What are a couple, you got me intrigued now with these health hacks. What are your favorite ones or the ones that your clients are always coming back and said, that was the hack?
A really powerful one, because sleeping issues are pretty prevalent amongst people, is just getting a simple snack before bed. Yeah.
I've always heard people say don't eat before bed.
A simple snack before bed. So one of the things that happens is our body gets hungry in the middle of the night, and we will wake up because our body is hungry. And hunger isn't necessarily the driving thing that's going on in our brain. All we are is awake. We are no longer sleeping, but our body's adrenal system has run out of reserves, and so it keeps us awake. Or we'll go back to sleep right before our alarm goes off. So I tell people before bed, take a simple snack, a little protein and a little bit of carbohydrates, an apple. An apple a day keeps the doctor away, right?
Yes.
How does that say? Put an apple with a little bit of almond butter, put a little bit of food in you, and then it will stimulate your glycogen stores that will keep you from waking up.
Oh, that's so great. I find a lot of people with autoimmune do have trouble sleeping through the night.
Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite one. And it goes through, it's an amazing resource because it goes through a lot of toxins that we're exposed to in the products that we buy and use on a daily basis. Talking about fluoride and pesticides, the organophosphates and lead and arsenic, iodine in our salt. Iodized salt that's a marketing idea. We're not supposed to use iodized salt. We need pink Himalayan salt or sea salt or, you know, anything but iodized salt. So it just goes through. It's pretty brief. It's only 30 pages. And
awesome.
It just has some brilliant ideas that are just really easy, and any of us can do them.
Well, we're just down to the last couple minutes. Share with us, how do we get this great ebook about health hacks, as well as find out more about you?
You can find out about me at my website, www.creedmoorwellness.com. That's CREEDMOOR, wellness.com. And if you put a slash book on there, you'll get my book.
Awesome. And we'll have the spelling of that up on our lifeinterruptedradio.com, so you guys can just click on the link as well. If you're, I know so many of you like to, you know, listen to this while you're working out or walking, doing other things, staying healthy, that sometimes you don't have your pencil and paper with you. So we'll have that, her website there for you as well. Well, thank you, Dr. Cheryl. This has just been awesome. And, you know, you've demystified these stealth pathogens. I'm not so afraid of the word. Now I'm curious about the word, which is a great place to be. So I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us.
You're so welcome. And can I reach out and just say that anybody that has some more curiosity, if they would like some more information, if they will contact me on my website, they can get a free 15-minute consultation to kind of discuss things that are going on in their own life, make it a little more personal.
Wow, how generous. Thank you, Dr. Cheryl. Guys, take her up on that. That's awesome, because you've heard her describe that she really knows what she's talking about. So that's what I'm excited about when she came on the show for us to share with us this, what I call sort of underlooked at area of ill health and disease and how we can change our health around. So thank you, everyone, for being on the show. And before I forget, be sure and go to lifeinterruptedradio.com and sign up for Transcribe Tribe. Everybody, I think almost all the transcripts are up there, if not all of them, as well as we've got a brand new YouTube channel. So check the website for the link to the YouTube channel as well. You can just do lifeinterruptedradio.com/YouTube. You'll go see the YouTube. Can see the video. If you're not watching the video already, you can see the video of Dr. Cheryl and I, plus some of the other guests. Not all of them are up there because we didn't start with video, but It's a lot of fun doing that. And join me next Friday night for another episode of the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. 7 p.m. Eastern Time is when the show it goes live. And then after that, you can always hear us in podcasts at all of the, you know, iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Player FM, all of those places have the podcast. So join us there and be sure and leave comments for us because we'd love to read them. We're also on Facebook at Facebook.com/Life Interrupted Radio. So join us there for the conversation as well. Everyone, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures, and join me next time. As always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man!
No, sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them, like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
to... Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact You Gotta Believe at YouGottaBelieve.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.